tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, bringing you an hour of Westerns with a modern-day twist. Later on, it's Tales of the Texas Rangers from 1951. But first, a broadcast of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense. The broadcast called The Killing in Abilene and abbreviated. It might have been an Armed Forces Radio Service recording, but it was first aired on CBS on December 14, 1950.
I'd come down out of the Snake Range that morning, had followed the river trail through the canyon, and that afternoon had found Pleasant Valley. A handful of buildings, desolate, huddled in the cold shadows of the mountains around, tall and dark. A quarter of a mile this side of town, on an easy rise, I saw a handful of people standing in a circle. As I got closer, I saw they were gathered around two men who were digging.
Hold up a minute.
What's the matter?
I hit something.
Wait. Better go slow. Dig around this side. Here, I can't do it anymore. One of you boys take over.
I'll do it, Jim. Somebody's got to. It's him, all right. I seen his shirt.
You was right then, Ben.
Let the sheriff take a look.
Yeah. Jake? Jake Garvey.
Yeah.
That's him. That's Fred Costin, all right.
Fred!
What are you doing here, stranger? Where are you from?
You the sheriff?
That's right. Jake Garvey.
Mander's my name, from Abilene.
So?
I'm looking for a man in these parts, calls himself Lee Burridge.
Who'd he say, sheriff?
He said Lee Burridge, Ben.
You come along with us, mister. We'll find him for you.
What do you want him for?
What's it matter what he wants him for? We know what we want him for. Come on.
There ain't gonna be no trouble. I'm the law in Pleasant Valley. I'll do what we say.
With Fred Costin laying cold and his widow weeping, that's trouble enough.
We elected you, Sheriff Jake. We can unelect you. Like Ben said, it was Burridge killed him and you know it.
I've got to talk to you about Burridge, Sheriff. It's important.
All right. My office, back of the meeting house.
We don't need no talk about Burridge. We need to do something about the ugly son.
Come on, boys. Let's get on back to town. We'll take her as she comes. Smoke?
No, thanks.
The boys want to know why you're here, so do I. I'll tell you, we don't like strangers. What do you want with Lee Burridge?
I had a brother. Was killed out in Abilene. Burridge did it.
Huh?
Him and another one drove a herd into the railroad. Burridge got drunk and killed my brother. Buried him. Same as here. We found this pouch near the grave. His name burned into it. It's taken me 2 years to find him. Now I want to talk to him about it.
The boys are pretty sure he killed Fred Costin, too. So am I now.
Maybe so. Fred Costin isn't my business. My brother is. And I want to see his killer back in Abilene standing trial. I made a promise I'd bring him back.
How? You don't look like the kind of a man who could use a gun. Now, look. We didn't know your brother. But we knew Fred and we liked him. You can help take care of Burridge here if you've got mind to.
Try him here, you mean, on both charges?
No need for that.
Then what do you mean, take care of him?
How'd he kill your brother?
His head was beat in.
He was beat to death.
Yeah. Same as he did to Fred. A man who'd do a thing like that don't need no trial.
Not for you, maybe. But there'll be no more killing in my family. We'll give him a fair trial in Abilene.
If Burridge done these killings, he's gonna pay for it here.
I don't go for lynching.
That's strong talk. We don't call it lynching when we hang a man for murder. If you don't like it, go on back to Abilene.
Maybe I'll do that. When I take Lee Burridge out for trial.
I don't know what you're trying to do. I suspect it's to get Burridge out of town. If I'm right, you're heading into a lot of trouble.
One of you boys direct me to where Lee Burridge lives?
Could, if we felt inclined.
What you want with him?
Just want to talk. Anybody got any objections?
Yeah.
Who are you?
Ben Chaffee. There ain't gonna be no talking.
He's done what he's done, he's gonna pay for it.
And nobody's gonna stand in the way. It's time you was riding out of here.
And if I don't?
Then I'll help you.
Time off, Ben. We don't need no private wars here.
Where does he live?
Come on, boys.
They turned away from me and moved into the sheriff's office, leaving me alone to walk down the dusty street. I asked the blacksmith where Lee Burridge lived. He just looked at me and shook his head. Towards the hills, a thunderhead was beginning to gather, moving in slowly. Near the end of the street, two men were building a coffin in front of a small house. Is this where I'll find Mrs. Costin?
Why do you have to come meddling around here at a time like this? Can't you leave a widow to her sorrow?
Because he's a stranger, Bob Boy. And strangers don't have no time for other people's sorrow.
Maybe you're right, old-timer. Maybe they got too many themselves.
Yes?
I'd like to talk to you, ma'am. Could I come in?
No. Can't you see this house is in mourning? My friends are making a coffin for Fred's decent burial. I got nothing to say to you.
Ma'am, I know how you feel.
How can you know how I feel?
I had a brother once killed by this man, Burridge.
Oh.
I'd like you to help me. It was 2 years ago my brother was killed. His wife would like the killer brought back to Abilene for trial. I'd like you to speak to your friends. Let me take him away.
He didn't give my Fred a chance before he killed him. He's a cruel, an ugly man. I want him killed. Here, where I can watch.
Will you tell me where he lives?
Don't tell him nothing, Mrs. Custon. He'll go warn him off.
Let him go if he wants. I say a man's got one life to live, and he's got a right to lose it any dang way he pleases. I'll tell you where you can find Lee Burridge.
On the way, I passed the open pit that had been a grave and turned up a side canyon. A few miles farther on where the canyon spread, I saw his hut set against a fire-blackened hill. There was no growing thing in the rocky ground except one sick, twisted tree, its stunted limbs reaching out, empty, waiting. Lee Burridge.
Throw it down!
I'm Jeff Mander. It was my brother Seth you killed in Abilene.
If that's who you are, you've caused me enough trouble. Now get out of here.
They'll give you a fair trial there. Stay here and you're going to be lynched for Fred Costin's killing.
Nobody's going to lynch me while I got this. Don't come no closer.
You listen to me.
I don't hold no love for you. I shouldn't care what happens to you. But it took me 2 years to find you. Now I'm taking you out.
Don't come no closer!
Put up your gun.
I'm warning you!
Put up your gun.
Let out, kid. And tell those folks in the village it didn't work. I'm too smart for them.
Timer,
I see you had your talk with Burridge.
You see?
You ain't wearing your gun. You get the drop on you?
Yeah.
Surprised he didn't kid you.
So was I. Did you tell him I'd gone there?
Yep.
What'd they say?
They said if you get Burridge first, they'd get you. They said you should go back where you come from while you still can.
I will. After I settle with Burridge. Where's the sheriff?
Went off with the boys.
After Burridge?
Yeah. They're gonna wait till dark. Then they're going to string him up.
Where are they going to wait till dark? I want to be with them.
I thought you didn't like lynchings.
I don't, but I want to be there.
I was told if you came back to town, you have to be with them. Now, don't make me use this gun, son. Now just turn around and we'll join the rest of them.
All right.
And I'd suggest you stop your talking about Lee Burridge. From what I overheard, you're close to sharing a rope with him.
Pleasant Valley, the old man and me. We rode fast, without speaking, through scattered herds of cattle on the lower rangeland. Rolling in from the east, the black clouds smothered the mountaintops. The old man still held the gun on me.
Oh, no use winding the horses. Won't be dark for a couple hours yet. Lynching parties get their guts after dark.
How come you weren't with them?
Waiting for you. I thought you'd be around. Besides, I've seen a lynching once. Too much trouble.
Yeah.
You still figuring to take Burridge with you to Abilene?
I can try.
Ain't that going to be a mite daring without a shooting iron?
Might be.
I'm surprised after 2 years looking for him, you didn't shoot him when you found him.
That's not what I come for.
Why not? You killed your brother.
I made a promise to somebody.
His wife?
Yes. And mine, too. What was it between Costin and Burridge?
I don't know. Nobody's seen much of Burridge in the past couple of years. Ever since Ben told us about how he was a killer. Ugly man. Guess it was your brother he killed, too.
I guess so.
Now, because of him, you might get killed.
Why?
They know you're trying to take Burridge away. We ford the stream here. Watch your footing. Sonny.
Yeah?
They haven't seen you yet. You still got time to get out.
You'd let me go?
Seen a lynching once. Started a lot of trouble.
I've come this far. I'll finish it.
Hello, Sheriff. Thought you'd left Pleasant Valley.
I told the old man to bring him. We decided he ought to be with us where we can watch him. We're not letting him take Burridge out.
You decided, Ben? What do you say, mister? Are you still going to try and take him?
I'll tell you what he says, Sheriff. He says he wants Burridge one way or the other. He has to join, that's what he says.
Shut up, old man. Get off the horse, mister.
All right. I want Burridge as bad as the rest of you. I'd prefer him to stand trial. That's the difference. I don't want this lynching.
You...
Take your hand off your gun, Ben. He ain't armed.
Take it easy, Ben.
We decided what to do. You're here because I want you here. Burge killed Fred Custin in a fight. Now we're going to settle it. Burge killed Zizi. I've seen him do it once before. He's not going to do it again.
You saw him kill my brother?
I saw it. You need more of a trial than that?
I thought of the ugly man up the canyon in the broken-down shack. I wondered if he knew what was waiting for him a mile or so away. It was quiet then. The storm clouds were quickening the end of day, and the party became shadows, sitting nervously or smoking. Two of the men had some whiskey and were building up their courage for the night's work.
It's nearly dark.
Why not? I didn't think you'd come.
I had to. My Fred's dead.
So's my brother.
My Fred was a good man. Never hit me. But he was a dark man with drink.
What was it between Burge and him?
Well, we lost some chickens. Fred said that Burge stole them. When he came to town for supplies, Fred and him got to fighting. Burge hated him and beat him. Fred was horrible hurt. Afterwards, everybody laughed and made jokes.
They laughed at their friend?
Oh, it was man laughing. No harm. But a dark man like Fred, it was bad. He swore to get even. That was last Saturday. He went in to drink.
And didn't come back?
We all thought he rode out someplace for shame.
Why do you think Burridge killed him?
Oh, there's all talking about it.
Who was?
All the men, Saturday night. They said Fred and that man is arguing.
Who heard them?
Ben did. And when Fred didn't come back, we all knew that man had killed him. Well, he did. And he's going to pay for it.
Who found the grave, ma'am?
Ben did. I'm sorry for your brother's wife, but it must be this way. It's like the Holy Book says, an eye for an eye.
Let's go, boys. It's time.
He's there right enough. There's a light inside.
Hold up, boys. Bob, you, Jim, and Needle, come with me. We'll bring him up. The rest of you stay here.
What's the idea?
You're too quick tonight, Ben, and given too many orders. You stay.
You still gonna try and get him away, son?
I might.
You're like an Indian I knew once. Had to shoot him 5 times before he knew he was dead.
What do you want here?
You know what we want, Burridge.
Get out of here. Get off my land.
You come outside quiet-like. We don't want no trouble.
I ain't asking for trouble.
You asked for it when you killed Fred Custin.
Killed him? I didn't kill Custin.
Save your breath while you got it. Come on.
Let go. Let go of me. Burridge. I'll kill you all.
You've done your last killing. Get the rope over that limb.
Right. Is this your doing, Ben?
Shut up. Tie his hands, Bob. I'll hold him.
You gonna blame this one on me too, Ben?
Shut up, I...
Burridge didn't do it. He didn't do it.
Let it go, son. You can't stop him now.
I gotta talk to him before they do it. He didn't kill. I know it.
Wait a minute. Take my gun.
Thanks.
The rope was around his neck, and he knew he was gonna die. But as I came near him and could see him in the light, there was no fear in his eyes. He was lifted onto the horse, the rope was tightened, and he was ready to be lynched. Then he saw me.
All right, get it over here.
One request, Sheriff.
What, Burridge?
Let me talk to him a minute.
The stranger here?
For a minute.
No more talking. Take that horse out from under him.
Not yet. Let him talk.
Take it out!
We don't want to kill the wrong man, Ben. You or Burridge. Let him talk.
Why do you think I killed your brother?
They're trying to get away with something, Jake. Let's string them up. Come on.
A minute don't matter. Get up, Ben. Let them have their say.
We found your pouch near my brother's grave, Burridge. Your name on it. And tonight, Ben told me he saw you kill him.
I didn't. I wasn't with Ben that night in Abilene. Ben wanted to drink. I didn't. He left me and took my pouch with him.
What does it matter about his brother? It's Fred Costin we're hanging him for.
I didn't kill Fred Costin either. Listen, mister, I didn't kill your brother. Ben told everybody I didn't ever since I've had no friends.
He's talked enough. He killed Fred Costin. I told you that.
What about Burridge?
I didn't kill Fred Costin.
He's lying. Let's get it over with.
I said let him talk.
Where'd you get that gun, mister? How'd you know where Fred was buried, Ben? How'd you know where Fred was buried? Miss Costin says you found the grave. How'd you know where it was?
Answer him, Ben.
You told me where it was, Ben.
I saw him burying poor Fred. That's how I knew.
If you saw the burial, why didn't you stop Burridge then?
Wasn't none of my business.
But it is now. What made you change your mind so fast?
Stay away from that horse, Ben! Get up! Cut him down! You, Bob, cut him down!
I think you'll be coming back to Abilene with me, Ben.
You think so?
You all right, son?
My shoulder. How about Burridge?
Oh, he'll live. Rest easy, son. You've done a good job. But you ain't going to keep your promise about your brother's killer. There's no sense taking Ben Chaffee back to Abilene. We'll bury him here.
Suspense, in which Parley Bear starred in A Killing in Abilene by Anthony Ellis and Gil Dowd.
Suspense, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 14th of December, 1950 on CBS. The same script and story would be heard again on February 3rd, 1955 on the series, with Parley Bear reprising his title role. This is an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now for an episode called The Blow-Off on Tales of the Texas Rangers, heard on NBC first on November 25th, 1951.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers. From Hollywood, another authentic reenactment of a case transcribed from the files of the Texas Rangers. Of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles, and 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. From the files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on fact. Only names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. Case for tonight, The Blow-Off.
It is approximately 11 p.m., June 16th, 1947. Aaron Cortright is watering the gravel apron of his Mobile gas station at the intersection of a farm road and Highway 75, a few miles south of Glenwood, Texas. A car drives up to the pump.
Yeah, howdy, folks.
Howdy. Fill her up.
You betcha.
Hey, you got a telephone here?
Yep, over in the office there.
Better try that call again, Bell.
Okay.
Just give me a second. Coil up this hose and I'll be right with you. Yeah. Pretty night, ain't it?
Yeah, sure is.
Yeah, there we are. Fill her up, you see?
Yeah, with special.
No, sorry, mister. Truck busted the handle off the hand pump on the special. Regular be all right?
Well, I got no choice, have I? My car's about empty.
Taking kind of a chance, weren't you?
Why, what do you mean?
Yeah, it's about to close up. Next station is better than 30 miles away you're heading.
Well, we made it. That's what counts. Look, can't you hurry it up?
Oh, sure, sure, mister. Hey, what's she doing in there? Hey, you get away from that cash draw.
Never mind her. Just hope this gun don't blow your head off. Now, shove that nozzle into the tank.
You ain't getting my money.
You old fool.
Hey, look out. He'll kill you with a hose nozzle. You
blame right, I will.
Yeah, that ain't me that's getting killed. To the car, quick. dummy.
Me? I got the dough, didn't I?
What'd you go for it so soon for? I didn't get a chance to get any gas in the tank.
You had plenty of time to get gas. How'd I know you were going to stand there gabbing instead? Now what do we do?
Try to make it through to the next station.
What a spot, Duke Bishop, a smart operator.
Ah, shut up, will you? That don't help. I'll think of something. Well, that's the end of the gas.
How far we come?
10-11 miles.
Let's flag us a ride and get out of here.
And leave the car? Wouldn't that be smart? Like leaving our calling cards pinned to that stiff back there. This buggy's ours, don't forget.
Well, can't we take the license plates off and ditch them or something?
Oh, why does a woman have to be so dumb? There's a motor number. You can't get rid of that. Come on, pile out. Wait a minute. I got an idea.
What?
Know how we'll get some gas?
How? Dig us an oil well?
No. We're going to play it smart. We're going to catch a ride back to that filling station and discover a murder.
Sure appreciate the ride. Duke.
Yeah?
Light's still on, no cars around. Don't look like anybody's been here.
Well, you can't tell. It's been over a half hour. Hey, we're in luck. It's working out just right. Nobody has been here. He's lying just like we left him.
There's some gas cans, Duke. Let's pump one full and get out of here.
We can't do that.
Why not?
Because the guy that picked us up and dumped us out across the highway would remember us, sure.
But you said we were coming back to get gas.
I said we're coming back to discover a murder. We're going to act like law-abiding citizens. Now get in there. Telephone for the law.
You're deliberately trying to get us burned.
I'm trying to keep us out of the chair. Now get in there on that phone, quick. Here comes a couple of cars. Go on.
What are you doing here, mister?
Well, there's a dead man here. I think he's been shot. My wife's inside calling the police.
We've already been notified. I'm Sheriff Pruitt of Glenwood. The
man in that car behind me just came into town to report it.
Oh, well, this is terrible, Sheriff. A holdup, do you suppose?
Probably. Ask your wife to step out here.
Oh, sure, of course. Oh, Belle, forget the telephone. The sheriff's here.
What?
I say the sheriff's here.
Oh. Did somebody else report this?
Yeah, this is Mrs. Bishop, Sheriff.
Howdy, ma'am. Sheriff. How long you two been here?
Well, just a few minutes. Got here just before you did.
Now, where's your car?
10-11 miles down the line. Ran out of gas down there.
You get a lift up here?
Yeah.
Charlie.
Yeah?
Charlie, is everything here just like it was when you drove in and discovered the body?
Well, seems like, Sheriff, near as I can tell.
Any sign of these folks around when you stopped?
Nobody was around except poor Jim, laying on his face and all that blood.
You ever see these folks before?
No. Can't say I ever did.
Okay. Did you touch anything here, Mr. Bishop? That gas hose hanging unhooked there at the pump, the body?
Of course not, Sheriff. We just discovered the body and tried to notify authorities.
How about you, Miss Bishop?
Oh, no. Well, just the telephone.
All right. You can go back inside now if you'd be more comfortable, ma'am.
Thank you, Sheriff. Afraid I am a little shaky.
Look, Sheriff, this has been quite a shock to her. Couldn't we get some gas and ride back to our car so we can be on our way?
I'm afraid not. I'm going to phone for the ranger. You'll have to stay till they get here.
In response to Sheriff Pruitt's call, Ranger Jace Pearson was assigned to the case. Within 2 hours, he had carefully gone over the available information and evidence.
All right, Mr. Bishop. I guess that'll be all the questions for now. But before you and your wife leave, I'd like to have your full name and address in case we want to contact you later.
Oh, glad to, Ranger. Here it is on my driver's license. John Bishop, 980 West Pamela Street, Corsicana. That's Shady Rest. We have an apartment.
Well, you're headed away from Corsicana now. When will you be back?
Well, I've got an appointment in Houston tomorrow about a job, but we'll be back home, day after tomorrow. Anything we can do, Ranger, just let us know.
Thanks. You've both been very helpful. Sheriff had his deputy over there get you a tin of gas. He'll run you down to your car.
Oh, it's mighty nice of you, Sheriff.
Glad to help out. Bye, Mrs. Bishop.
Bye. Bye, Ranger. Thanks again.
Good night.
Right, decent folks, Jay.
It sure seemed to be.
What a nasty case. Nothing to go on.
Not much, apparently, but maybe we can turn something up.
Got any ideas, Jase?
Uh-huh. First off, I'm going to Radio Austin for the lab crew. Have them scour this place from top to bottom. The lab crew went over Jim Courtwright's station with a fine-tooth comb. While I waited for the lab report, I spent most of the next day searching the area for someone who might have seen a car or suspicious action near the station the night before. I drew a complete blank and went back to the sheriff's office. Hi, Sheriff.
Oh, hello, Jace. Thought you were never coming back.
Find anything? Nope. Nobody seems to have been traveling Highway 75 last night.
Lab boys didn't hit any jackpot either. Here's their report. Just came in. Lab figures like we did that there was quite a scuffle before the shots were fired, but it don't mean much.
No. But something in this fingerprint report might.
You mean those matching prints found on the telephone receiver in the cash drawer?
Uh-huh.
Austin didn't have any record on whoever made them, so what good does that do?
The report says they were fresh. These prints don't match the ones taken from the body, so they aren't court rights. Hey, wait a minute, Sheriff.
Hmm?
When you arrived at Courtright Station, Mrs. Bishop was at the telephone, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was trying to call me.
Well, then she was the last person to use the phone before those prints were pulled.
Well, you suppose that's her print on the phone?
If it is, I'd sure like to know what its duplicate was doing on Courtright's cash drawer.
Yeah, and Bishop said himself he was on his way down to Houston to see about a job. If he was unemployed and broke, well, that'd sure be a motive.
I think we'd better run up to Corsicana tomorrow and sort of welcome Mr. and Mrs. Bishop when they get back from Houston. Late the next afternoon, Sheriff Pruitt and I rolled down a quiet Corsicana street to the address John Bishop had given us. Shady Rest turned out to be a shabby rooming house set next to a wide, weed-grown lot.
I'll buy you a new Winchester if this deal pans out, Jace.
Let's hope it costs you, Sheriff. You better knock again.
Yes?
Good afternoon, ma'am. This is Sheriff Pruitt of Glenwood, and I'm Ranger Pearson.
Well, howdy. I'm Ethel Hastings. Miss Ethel Hastings. I'm the owner here.
How do you do, Miss Hastings? I wonder if you could give us a little information.
Well, maybe. What you want to know?
We understand Mr. and Mrs. John Bishop are due back from Houston this afternoon. We were wondering if they've arrived yet.
You mean Duke and Belle Bishop? Huh. They have not arrived, and they're not a-gone to.
What makes you so sure?
Because I evicted them, that's what.
Evicted them? When?
Day before yesterday morning.
Well, that's the morning of the same day the Courtright thing took place, Jase.
Yeah. Oh, why were they evicted, ma'am?
Well, I'm patient, and I'm long-suffering. But I'm a woman alone in this world, and I have to look out for my own interests. That pair's been living off me half the winter and all spring, and there just had to be an end to it.
Non-payment of rent, eh? Would you say they were broke?
Well, if they wasn't, they sure had it hid good.
Any idea where they were going?
To perdition. I'll guarantee that, the way the two of them lolled around all the time, drinking and turning down offers for honest work.
Well, what I meant was, did they leave a forwarding address?
No, but they'll be sending me one as soon as they locate. You can count on that.
Well, you seem pretty sure, ma'am.
I am. They only had one thing of any value. Beat-up old trunk that they tried to sneak out to their car. The way they hollered when I locked it up for the back rent, it must be worth something. I told them they could send for it when they had my money.
You mind if we look at this trunk?
Well, now I don't want to do nothing wrong. But with the law with me, I guess it'd be all right, wouldn't it?
I think so, Miss Hastings.
Well, then come right this way with me.
What model rifle you want, Chase? Looks like I might be buying you one.
Just be dying to look at this trunk myself. What in the world those two could have that was that valuable? Now, it's right in the storeroom here. That's it. Right there.
Open her up, Sheriff. Let's see what's inside. There's nothing in the trunk except something wrapped in that old shirt. Let's see what it is.
Can you beat that?
Oh, cover it up, quick. Get it out of here. Get it out of here.
Oh, now, calm yourself, ma'am. It isn't what it looks like.
My
it looks like a jug of alcohol to me with a baby in it. A baby with two heads.
Oh, my heart. My heart, where's my medicine? I've got to have my medicine.
Now, easy, ma'am. You're all right. That's a sideshow gadget. Just a rubber doll made to look like the real thing.
You mean it's a fake, Chase?
Sure. I've seen them in theatrical supply house catalogs. All sorts and sizes. Mummies, too.
Fake! Well, I might have known it. Anything that pair had to be no good. I suppose it don't have much value, does it, Ranger?
Do you? I'm afraid not. Not unless you want to join a sideshow.
Sideshow? Ranger, I'll have you to know I'm a respectable woman.
And you've been a very helpful one, too, Miss Hastings. Thanks. Come on, Sheriff.
That bottle is the blamedest thing I ever saw, Jase. What do you suppose the bishops had it for?
I bet they wish they had it now. You in the mood for a few days of traveling?
Anything that'll bring us up with the bishops.
Good thing we know where to start looking for them.
Do we, Jase?
Living in a cheap rooming house, running out of money towards spring, refusing jobs, that faked-up exhibit they tried to sneak out with them. Sheriff, you and I are going hunting for carnivals.
In just a moment, we will continue with Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jase Pearson.
It is absolutely imperative that our armed forces have an adequate reserve of blood plasma at all times. The only answer to this crisis is you, the American people, who have never failed in such an emergency. The Department of Defense urges every one of us to contribute blood plasma. Blood cannot be manufactured or cultivated. It must be given by human beings to save a life. Make an appointment right away to donate a pint of your blood. Then, know in your heart that you have saved a life.
We continue now with Tales of the Texas Rangers. And tonight's case, The Blow-Off, an authentic story from the files of the Texas Rangers.
Working from published carnival routes, Sheriff Pruitt and I tracked down one show after another without finding any trace of Duke Bishop and his wife. No showman's organization had ever heard of them. We were beginning to lose hope by the time we arrived at Rocky Pass, where a carnival company was working the annual Rocky County Fair.
Golly, Jase, did you ever see such a jam?
Carnivals are fun, Sheriff. That's what they're for.
Well, personally, I'm about fed up with them. And it looks like we're going to draw a blank here, too. No sign of a two-headed baby.
Well, we haven't checked that sideshow over there yet.
Another one? Do we have to?
They're getting kind of old to me now, too. This looks like a pit layout.
Is that good?
Well, it'll be the likeliest place for our pair to be working one of those fake baby exhibits.
If that's what they went back to. What do you mean, a pit layout, Jase?
Pit shows, they call them. A lot of acts and exhibits under one top. One admission for the bunch. They use pits instead of platforms to separate the performers from the audience.
What a business.
Come on, let's see if this show's got anything to interest us.
Extraordinary assemblage of marvels ever gathered together for the edification of mankind. Something of fascinating interest to any and each.
Mister!
You mean me, Ranger?
Mind stepping down here a moment? I'd like to ask you a couple of questions.
Instantly, Ranger, forthwith, without delay. All right, step right up to the window, folks. The little lady would be happy to take your money. It's only 2 bits, 25 cents, a quarter part of a dollar.
Ah. Now, what can I do for you, gentlemen of the law?
The sheriff and I are looking for a husband and wife team. We have reason to believe we're working a show like this.
Ranger, it's one of the puzzles of my long and checkered career. Why minions of the law insist upon hounding us hard-working carnies?
This is the first case I've ever had to investigate in the show business, mister. I hope it's the last.
A commendable sentiment, Sheriff. Very commendable.
The people we're looking for probably operate some kind of an exhibit of what they claim is a two-headed baby in a jar of alcohol.
Hopscotches.
Huh? What's that?
Hopscotches. Not regular dyed-in-the-wool carnies. Grifters that keep switching from one show to another. They'd be the kind to be using that ancient sucker bait.
Anything like that with this show?
A fake you can order out of a supply house by the dozen with this show? Absolutely not, Ranger.
How about in this tent? You got a lot of freaks?
Natural phenomena, Sheriff. Wonders of nature.
All right, all right. Have you got a two-headed baby in there?
Not even a one-headed one. But there are some husband and wife teams. Now, just step over here with me and look them over for yourself.
Go ahead, Sheriff. Follow him. You might as well be sure.
Right over here, Ranger. Excuse me, folks, excuse me. Now, Sheriff, we have here Zara, the world's heaviest human body. She requires the calorie intake of 10 normal adults.
I'm afraid she's not the one we're looking for.
Well, all right. Right over here next is her husband, the sword swallower.
We're not interested in him either.
Well, now, don't rush yourself, Sheriff. Don't rush. Be sure.
Look, but the bishops weren't performers. They operated an exhibit.
What did you say?
Duke and Belle Bishop. Now, you know them?
No.
The name mean anything to you?
No, nothing at all. Now, this gentleman over here is Serpentina, the rubber woman.
Hey, wait a minute. What's that over there?
Where?
Through that doorway, under the banner that says See and Believe.
Oh, that? Why, that's the blow-off. Now, if you just...
Now, don't be in such a hurry, mister. What's a blow-off?
It's a... Well, it's an added attraction for which there's an extra admission charge.
Kind of a come-on, eh?
I suppose you could put it that way, Sheriff.
Just what is this added attraction?
Kind of a shocker. A woman without a head.
Alive?
Merely a cheap illusion, gentlemen.
Well, we'll take a look just the same. Come on, Sheriff.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, this unfortunate woman sitting before you on this chair.
There he is, Sheriff. There's Bishop.
Well, I'll be darned.
What?
Jeez, that Barker said this no-head business was an illusion. Look at them pipes and wires and stuff feeding into her neck. And she's moving. That must be Bishop's wife.
Uh-huh. Don't think he's seen her, Sheriff. Come on.
This little lady would die in just about 60 seconds. Hey, Bell, duck quick, the Ranger.
Keep clear, folks.
Hold it, Bill.
They're ducking out under the tent, Jace.
The canvas is loose here. Out this way, Sheriff.
Don't see him, Jace.
There they go, Sheriff. Into the crowd, out in the midway. Come on.
Hold it, Bishop.
Too many people here to risk gunplay. You gotta be careful.
Yeah. Watch it, he's gonna fire, Jace. They're heading for the parking lot.
Yeah, I see them.
We lost them, Jace.
Yeah, they could hide in here all night with so many cars jammed together. Our ears are better than our eyes in a spot like this.
Hear anything?
Not yet. Hey, what's that?
There goes a car, but it ain't the one they had.
They probably stole this one, but it's them, all right.
They're heading right for the fairground fence.
Yeah, and they're gonna go through it.
Over to our car, quick. The time we drive through the auto gate, they'll be long gone.
We aren't driving through the auto gate either.
Think you can hit that hole they made in the fence, Jace?
Watch me try. Brace yourself.
Whew. Just like threading a needle.
Keep your eyes open for them while I get on the radio. Unit 10 to KTXA. Unit 10 to KTXA.
KTXA to Unit 10. Go ahead, Unit 10.
Unit 10 is pursuing a green new model four-door Nash sedan southbound on Highway 285, 2 miles south of Rocky Pass. Car is presumed stolen. The occupants are wanted for murder. Unit 10 requests roadblocks on all possible avenues of escape from this area.
Will do, Unit 10. KTXA Austin.
Although we drove at top speed, the pursuit ended at a Ranger roadblock 50 miles south of Rocky Pass. Units at the roadblock had not seen the described car, so we knew Duke and Belle Bishop had turned off on some tributary road before they reached the barricade. We turned back on Highway 285 to search for them.
There's the farm road I was talking about up ahead, Jace. They could have taken it.
Yeah, pretty sparsely settled country out west of here. Let's take a look, Sheriff.
Sit tight, Jace. I'll check it.
See anything, Sheriff?
Well, this looks like it, Jace. Fresh tire tracks. Somebody made an awful fast turn off the highway. Direction of travel is right, too.
Maybe our luck's changing, Sheriff. Let's find out. The road's sure getting rough.
Yeah, it's beginning to get dark. We don't get line left there pretty soon, Jace. They may dodge us altogether.
I don't think so, Sheriff. They've been giving us a bad time, and they may give us a worse one, but the department's got this whole area isolated.
Before we're through, we may wish we had your trailer and our horses.
Yeah, I was thinking of that, too.
KTXA to Unit 10.
That's us, isn't it?
KTXA to Unit 10.
Yeah. Unit 10 to KTXA. Go ahead.
Highway Patrol Unit 402 reports contact with subject's car 11 miles west of Highway 285. Second dirt road to left off of Farm Road 971. Subjects maintaining excessive speed on nearly impassable road. Unit 402 requests backing.
We passed the second dirt road to the left yet, Sheriff?
No. Wait. Looks like one at the bottom of this hill.
Yeah. 10-4, Unit 10, approaching turnoff to Farm Road 971 now. Relay to Unit 402. We're coming behind him. Unit 10, clear.
10-4, KDXA Austin.
Hang on, Sheriff. Looks like a bad turn. Yeah, the dust has settled, but you can still smell it in the air.
Yeah. The highway patrol car got to be just up ahead.
Yeah, and he's right behind Bishop and his wife. How's your shooting eye?
Pretty tolerable, Jerry. But I could do with a little practice.
You're apt to get it. Now reach my rifle out of the back seat.
All right.
Get a shot, Sheriff. Try for the tires. If they don't stop then, try for the best target you can get.
Okay, Jace.
You have to smell the dust in the air now. You can see it.
Jace, look out. The road is dead-ending.
Track to keep right on at the brush.
So are we. Oh, what are you stopping for? You see something?
Look, in that little gully.
The highway patrol car. I'm inside.
Watch yourself, Sheriff. Keep that rifle ready.
No sign of the other car.
Its tracks keep right on through the brush. Here. Give me a hand with this top door. Gotta get the patrolman out of there.
Let me get his feet.
Easy now, Sheriff. Lift him out flat. Like he was on a stretcher. Now, down on this patch of grass.
Is he bad off, Jace?
Yeah. Some abrasions and probably a mild concussion. And he got a nasty lump on the side of his head.
Glad it isn't any worse. What do we do, Jace?
I'm going to radio for an ambulance to pick him up.
Then we'll have to stay here and wait for it.
Yeah, it's too dark to do much tracking in this brush anyway. We'll night it here. By morning, we're going to have us those horses you were wishing we'd brought along. The highway patrolman was not seriously injured. During the night, our horses were towed into us. And by sunrise, the sheriff and I were in the saddle working toward other mounted rangers, closing in on Duke and Belle Bishop from the opposite side. We found their car, and much later in the day, followed their tracks to a small, dilapidated ranch house. Whoa, Sharky.
Whoa, boy. Yeah, somebody's home there. Smoke's in the chimney.
Yeah. But listen, Sheriff.
You mean that old cow talking?
Yeah. What's it sound like she's saying?
She sounds like somebody forgot to milk her this morning.
Yeah, would a rancher forget something like that?
What are you driving at, Jace?
Suppose somebody put the rancher out of commission so he couldn't take care of the cow.
And a minute ago, I was ready to ride right up to that front door.
Yeah, I'll leave the horses here. We'll work the rest of the way on foot.
It's going to be ticklish business. If they're in there, they've probably got their hands on every gun in the house.
Yeah, I got a hunch they may try to bluff it out till we actually bust in on them. You take the front door. I'll cut around to the back. Whichever way they break, then, we'll have them.
We better have a signal so I know when to rush the front, Chase.
I'll make you rush if you hear a shot or if I holler. Whichever's first.
Right. Good luck.
Same to you, Sheriff. We'll both need it. Approaching that house without cover or real knowledge of what lay behind the doors is the kind of work officers do only because it's part of their jobs. Death is close, and they know it.
I told you to stay by those back windows.
I'm just scared. Maybe there's rangers all around us. We've got to get out of here.
Yeah, maybe we better. But not together. You take the back way.
Both of you, stay right where you
run
are.
Run for
it, Phil.
Look out, Sheriff!
Come on, out in front with you.
You're not putting any handcuffs on me, idiot.
No. There. What a gag, you like that couple lying there in the corner. Now, out on the front porch.
Oh.
You hit bad, Sheriff?
I'm nicking the arm.
Here, you. Get your arms around this porch post. Those cuffs will keep you out of mischief.
Bishop, hold up behind that water trough.
Yeah, I'll flush him out. Bishop, I'm giving you a chance. Come out from behind there with your hands up. You hear me?
Come and get me, Ranger.
Okay, I will.
Ah! Did he give up, Chase?
I'm afraid he did, Sheriff.
Permanently.
Duly tried in the county courts at Glenwood, Texas, Belle Bishop was found guilty as an accessory in the murder of Jim Cartwright. Her sentence, 50 years in the women's prison at Gorey. Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Thank you. Joel McRae is currently seen starring in the Universal International Technicolor production, Cattle Drive. The cast included Tony Barrett, Eddie Marr, Gerald Moore, Betty Lou Gerson, Ed Begley, and Jeanette Nolan. Technical advisor was Captain M.T. Lone Wolf Gonzalez of the Texas Rangers. This story was transcribed and adapted by Tom Blackburn, and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keach. This is Hal Gibney speaking.
It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. Today, it's the big show, with guest stars including Mary McCarty, Dane Clark, Martha Scott, Phil Foster, and your charming hostess, Tallulah Bankhead. Then join in the fun on the sparkling Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. Later, Theater Guild on the Air brings you the Broadway musical Allegro, starring Jane Powell, John Lund, and Kenny Delmar. Keep tuned to the NBC Radio Network, now entering its second quarter century as the leader in radio entertainment. Next, it's The Big Show, all this and Tallulah 2 on NBC.
Tales of the Texas Rangers, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 25th of November, 1951 on NBC, bringing to a close this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.